The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Shout out to Ovi on the beat. He's the one who produced that intro track right there, Jack Tatum, which can be found on my brand new album, Prophet's Path to Nowhere, which just dropped today. You can find that on all digital platforms. Also, if you like CDs, you can go ahead and just hit up my website, katietrop.net, and you can purchase them on there. Also, I released a new music video on Monday called Not Safe for the Radio, which you can also check out on my website, katietrop.net, or on my YouTube channel. Check it out. Speaking of music and sports, since those are two of my favorite things in the world, a cool little thing I saw this week is that the NASCAR season kicks off on February 6th. And my homeboy, Ice Cube, is going to be performing during the first NASCAR race. So how fucking dope is that? I think it's dope, at least, because Ice Cube is my favorite rapper of all time. To see him do that, that's dope and good for NASCAR. They know what they're doing, man. They're getting the greatest rapper of all time performing there, Ice Cube. So, yay. Speaking of music and sports, did you all see the promo video that dropped yesterday for this year's Super Bowl halftime show? If you did not, that shit was dope. That shit got me hyped up so hard. I mean, Dr. Dre, Eminem, and Snoop Dogg are literally why I rap. They are three of my favorite rappers. I own all their catalogs of music, and they are huge influences on me. So to see that they are going to be performing at the halftime show is just fucking dope to me. Kendrick Lamar and Mary J. Blige will be there too. Kendrick Lamar, he's just, I'm not like a huge fan of his. I like only a few of his tracks, but I don't own any of his albums, so that means I'm not really a big huge fan of yours. And Mary J. Blige is boring as fuck to me, so I really couldn't care less about her. But I'm fucking stoked for this shit. And usually the halftime show, even if it's somebody I like, I don't really care about the halftime show because I'm there to watch the football. But this year's halftime show, I really am looking forward to. The only thing that I think is going to suck about it is that it's going to be censored. So I'm really hoping that they put it up on YouTube or something like that afterwards, so we could see the uncensored version of it, because I legitimately can't stand censorship. And so I know that aspect of it's going to ruin it for me, but overall, I am so looking forward to this halftime show. Dr. Dre, man, Eminem, Snoop Dogg, that's just going to be wild. And my prediction is they're going to come out to California Love, because how the fuck can you not come out to California Love while you are in LA and you got the kings of rap coming out of LA? Oh, so looking forward to that shit. But if you haven't seen that promo spot, go check out that promo spot. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube or something. And also, speaking of the NFL, I don't know if any of y'all saw the ratings for this year, but more people are watching the NFL than ever. So they actually, out of the top 100 from last year, the NFL took 91 out of the top 100 most watched things in 2021. And the ratings for the playoffs this past weekend were out of control. I believe it was 41.5 people watched my Cowboys get beat by the 49ers. So, man, haters galore showing up to see the Cowboys blow their wad as usual. But the NFL ratings, man, they continue to dominate as they always have for years. but since we're talking NFL, we might as well talk the divisional playoffs. We got some good matchups this week. Last week, I went 4-2. Of course, I was wrong on my stupid-ass Cowboys, and I was wrong on the Steelers. So we'll see how I do this week with the divisional round, starting off with Saturday's games. Kicks off with the Cincinnati Bengals at the Tennessee Titans. Right now, the Titans are a 3.5-point favorite. That sounds about right to me. You know, the Bengals are coming in hot right now. They're looking like a really good team. They finally broke their streak of not winning a playoff game since 1990. That's a big thing right there. Joe Burrow is just playing out of his mind. And they're playing some solid football right now. The Tennessee Titans are going to get back running back Derrick Henry, which is big. Who knows how effective he's going to be. He's been out for a couple months. He has a foot injury. And he's running back. When you get a foot injury, that's a big fucking deal for a running back. So it's going to be interesting to see what kind of a role he plays. But I'm not expecting him to have his, like, Derrick Henry type game where he's going to bust out for like 150 yards, something like that. I see more of like a 75 yard type game with maybe a touchdown here or there, just getting some close goal line touchdowns there. But I do expect the difference in this matchup is going to be on the Bengals offensive line versus the Titans defensive line. Right now, the Bengals offensive line is pretty beat up. And the Titans are coming off of this bye week. They were able to get healthy, get their game plan right. And I think Mike Vrabel is going to have them come in prepared. And I think the Titans defense is going to get at the Cincinnati Bengals offense and keep them off the field. And the Titans offense is going to run some clock out. And I think the Titans are going to end up with the win 24-14. Moving on to the next Saturday game is going to be the San Francisco 49ers at the Green Bay Packers. Right now, the Packers are a six-point favorite, and they're coming off of a bye week that they really needed. They got some dudes injured, and so they needed that bye week. The Niners are in the opposite direction right now, though. The injuries just keep piling up for them every single week, and that's going to catch up to you at some point. I think the Packers have a lot to prove. over the Aaron Rodgers years, especially since their Super Bowl that they won. God, now it's been about 12 years now, I think, since they last won the Super Bowl. And they've actually been a disappointment ever since they won that Super Bowl. They've gone to multiple NFC championship games and blown it. And so I think they've got a lot to prove this year, and I think they know it. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers is satisfied with only having one Super Bowl. I think he thinks he's better than that, and I think the Green Bay Packers are going to come out hot. I think it's going to be a close game to start. But I think Green Bay is going to start pulling away in the second half. I think the Packers defense is going to get at Jimmy G, probably force a couple turnovers here and there, and set the offense up in good field position for some scores. And I think Green Bay is going to walk away with the win 30-20. Then Sunday's games start off with the Los Angeles Rams at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are a 3-point favorite right now. And the Buccaneers are beat up. But as long as you got Tom Brady, you're golden, man. The dude has had such a great year. Usually when I'm watching, because I'm going to keep it real, y'all, I am a Tom Brady fan. I actually used to be a Tom Brady hater years ago, but then I realized, like, right now we are watching the greatest football player of all time, and I think you should just enjoy what you see, because there's probably not going to be another player like this ever again. And if there is, it's not going to be for a very long time. So you should enjoy it while he's around. Now, that's fine if you want to root against him, but I just think it's weird that there's so many people out there who, like, genuinely hate him just because he wins. Like, that makes you a pathetic loser, in my opinion. But one of my favorite things to do when I'm watching Tampa is to go, Tampa, Tampa, Tampa. Because I remember when he first went to Tampa, and he got the trademark for Tampa Bay. We all thought that was stupid, and it is a stupid name, but, like, for some reason, I became exceptionally obsessed with it, and I even ended up buying a tank top that says Tampa Bay on it with a goat that has the number 12 on it. So, but like I said, when you got Tom Brady at quarterback, I think you're good no matter what injuries you have. The Rams, their offense has been on fire. They seem to be clicking on all cylinders right now. But Matthew Stafford still has those moments where he just isn't smart with the ball. And that's not to say he's a bad quarterback, because I actually think Matthew Stafford's an exceptional quarterback. I just think he spent so much time in Detroit and never really had a good coach to help coach him out of those type of mistakes that he makes over time, and I think he'll get better along the way. But this year, it really has hampered the Rams, And I think that's what's going to end up happening in this game, is that Matthew Stafford's just going to end up throwing a couple turnovers. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is really starting to get healthy now. And they're looking like they did last year when they made their playoff run. So I think it's going to be a tough game. I think it's going to be a battle. But I think the Buccaneers are going to walk away with the win 28-24. Then the last game of the weekend is going to be the Buffalo Bills at the Kansas City Chiefs. Right now, the Chiefs are a 2-point favorite. The Bills, I think, are ready to take the next step. The last couple of seasons, they've made the postseason, have had really bad exits. And usually when that happens, if you just keep building, eventually you get over the hump. And the Kansas City Chiefs have been their kryptonite over the past couple of seasons. They finally got over that hump during the regular season. And so now it's their time to prove it in the postseason. And I think they will, because the Chiefs are not the same team that they've been over the past two seasons that they've gone to the Super Bowl. You know, their offense isn't, they beat really shitty teams. Like last week, they had a great game offensively. Not to start, though. I mean, TJ Watt ended up, you know, picking up that fumble and running it back for a touchdown. Had the Steelers actually had a pretty decent offense, things might have ended up a little bit different. And the Chiefs really have only looked good against shitty teams this year, and the Bills are not a shitty team. So while I do think this is going to be an offensive shootout, I do think there's going to be a couple plays that where the Bills defense steps it up and either causes a turnover or causes like a nice three and out, just gets the Chiefs flustered a little bit to get the Bills offense on the field a little bit more. And I think the Bills are going to win 35-28. So, yeah, that's what I'm thinking for the divisional round this weekend. Should be some good games regardless. I've got a couple of quick hits in the NBA. Russell Westbrook was benched the other night for the Lakers in their loss to the Indiana Pacers, who are not a good team, if you're not aware. And neither are the Lakers at this point. And it was actually quite hilarious because Charles Barkley went on a nice little rant last night on TNT. And I couldn't agree more. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do what he can't do on TV, but he kept calling the Lakers wussies. And he said, the only reason why I'm calling them wussies is because I can't really call them what I want to call them, and that's pussies. So you could say that on my show. So Charles, if you ever want to come kick in on my show, you are more than welcome. I think we would have a great time together, talking about how shitty my Lakers are, especially. But Russell Westbrook was benched in the fourth quarter, which I think is a good move because he's so erratic in the fourth quarter. And his team is just so awful. And they're under 500. And really the only player right now playing is LeBron James. And he's healthy. He's completely healthy. But this team, they just can't get it together. And I don't think they're going to get it together. And they want to sit here and try and blame Frank Vogel, the coach, and act like it's his fault. And it's like, dude, what did you expect? You gave him the geriatric squad this year. And there was no hope in my mind that the Lakers were even going to come close to a championship. And at this point, they're going to be lucky if they make the playoffs. And even if they do make the playoffs, there is way too much going on out West right now. And hell, even the Eastern Conference. If you look at the standings right now in the Eastern Conference, all the teams are like within half a game of each other. And so they're kicking each other's ass. And then out West, you know, we've got the Suns who are still owning this league. You got the Warriors who are basically back to where they were a couple years ago. You got the Memphis Grizzlies on fire right now. There's just too much going on out West for me to believe that the Lakers even have a chance this year. And when they want to sit here and blame Frank Vogel and think that's going to be the change that needs to be made. No, what needs to be made here is we should have never traded for Russell Westbrook to begin with. And we got too many old guys. And that's not a good thing if you're trying to build a team around Anthony Davis. And I have no problem with them building a team around Anthony Davis because I really do enjoy the way he plays the game when healthy. But if you're going to build a team around him, then you need to get younger dudes who can at least step it up while he's out, because that's been the most proven thing about Anthony Davis's career so far is that he gets injured. I mean, he's been getting injured since he was with New Orleans. I'm almost positive, if I remember correctly, he even got injured in his rookie season. So he's been a guy who's always getting injured. And if you're going to build a team around him, you're going to need to have some young guys who can at least step it up for however long he's going to be out. And Russell Westbrook is not that dude. He's a good player, but he's just not a good team player. And I don't think he has what it takes to win a championship. And I definitely don't think the Lakers have what it takes to win a championship this year. A couple other things that happened in the NBA this week. Joel Embiid went off for 57 points in 27 minutes. And he's a center, y'all. What I love about Joel Embiid's game is he reminds me of old school centers. I've missed the old school center. We haven't had dominant centers in the league for a few seasons now. And so it's really dope to see Joel Embiid come in and take over. And I really would like to see the 76ers do something just because I really dig his game. And to see him go off like that the other night, good for you, man. Keep it up. Then you had Nikola Jokic. He, the same exact night, another center. He went off for a 49-point triple-double. These two guys, they are having phenomenal seasons right now, and it's great to see the center position get its respect back, man, because it's been a minute since we've had a dominant center in the league. I mean, I want to say it's been since Shaq, since we've had really dominant centers in the league. I could be wrong, but I mean, and you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo, he's another dominant center, having another phenomenal season, but they're not what Shaq and Yao Ming used to be, those kind of centers. They weren't like that. Joel Embiid's more like that style, and it's cool to see him ball out like that. And then there were a couple of injuries this week for the Chicago Bulls, who are actually leading the Eastern Conference right now. But these two injuries, you got Lonzo Ball, he just had surgery, and he's going to be out for about a couple months, it looks like. And then Zach LaVine also was injured over the weekend, and he's going to be out, it looks like, at least a month. And those are their two big dogs right now. I know DeMar DeRozan's having a great season right now, but we'll see if that affects them. But, hey, they're also in the Eastern Conference, so those guys miss a couple of months. It may not be that big of a deal. Also, you know, KD is missing for the Nets for the next month or so. The injuries are piling up in the NBA, and those are two more for the Bulls. And then there's actually some baseball news, shockingly. If y'all don't know, Major League Baseball is in a lockout right now. They got to work on a new collective bargaining agreement with the owners and the players' union. So we don't know when we're going to get baseball. Hopefully, we're going to be getting it soon. Usually, let's see, right now it's January 21st, so pitchers and catchers would be reporting probably next week. So that's obviously not going to be happening. And then after that would be everybody else would be reporting, and we'd have spring training in March. And it's cutting into that time. And then usually we start the season first week of April. So we'll see what happens with baseball this year. But there was something that did happen newsworthy. But I'm going to approach the subject like this before I tell you what actually happened. So since I'm a woman and I'm discussing sports right now, obviously I'm a feminist. I believe women should have an equal chance at the same jobs men do. Now, when I say that, in sports, I don't think women should be on the same playing field with men, because no matter what, this is a fact. Men and women have different body types, and women can't compete against men no matter how hard or badass we think we are. And that's not a diss at women, it's just a fact. So, of course, I don't want to see women on the football field with men. Hell, you can even go back to, I want to say about like 10, 15 years ago, the best female golfer was a woman named Annika Sorenstam. And she did actually get a chance to play golf against all the best pro men in the world. And she couldn't even, I think she came in like the top 40 or some shit like that. So even in sports like golf, women cannot compete with men. And that's just a fact. But with that being said, I do like that this year we actually see women on the sidelines, you know, being the water girl. Because I've always had that gripe where I see men on the sideline being the water boy. And I'm like, you can't tell me that a woman can't squeeze a fucking water bottle. I mean, it's not rocket science. So it is nice to see that. It's nice to see that there are now women coaches in all levels of sports, whether it be the NFL, Major League Baseball, or the NBA. We're seeing them there. So I do like that growth. But there are things that piss me off when it's when you just want to just put a woman out there, just to put a woman out there. That's, to me, is just fake feminism. And I'm going to use a couple examples of that within sports. The first one is Danica Patrick. If you don't remember Danica Patrick, she was a IndyCar driver who was elevated to NASCAR. She should have never been elevated to NASCAR. As a matter of fact, she was more just like a media darling. I don't know why the media loved her so much, just because we needed a woman, I guess, or some bullshit like that. But basically, her entire Indy career, she didn't win shit. And as a matter of fact, I think she won one time. And I think it was on one of those, like, technicalities where it was, like, a race shortened by weather or some shit like that. Regardless, it was a bullshit win. And that's all she ever had in IndyCar. But then they're like, oh, let's move her up to NASCAR. And it's like, why? She didn't win shit. And then she gets to the NASCAR level and doesn't win shit there. As a matter of fact, all the bitch did was fucking getting in a whole bunch of car accidents. It's like, gee, way to keep that stereotype going of women drivers sucking. So that is one type of fake feminism that I'm discussing. By the way, Danica Patrick never went anywhere as a racer. As a matter of fact, she's just like a commercial bitch, and I don't even think she does that shit anymore. Darn. And then the next example I'm going to give of fake feminism in sports is something that has really, just really pissed me off over the last, like, I want to say it's been a movement for about 4 years or so now, and I find it annoying as fuck because it's such a waste of time argument because there's no argument. And it's, let me just start with, when I see this, there's this stupid little meme that's been going around for a little while, and you know how stupid people are. They see a meme and, oh my God, that's immediately truth. Well, basically, the meme is it's two players. On one side, it's the best WNBA player, Sue Bird. I don't watch the WNBA, so I really can't confirm if this is true or not, if she's the best. But let's just pretend for shits and giggles she's the best. And then they're comparing her to LeBron James. And their statistics are like the same, and they've got all these same championships. But she makes way less money than LeBron. Oh my God, this is just an outrage. News flash to every motherfucker on the face of this planet. The WNBA doesn't make money. As a matter of fact, they don't even make half of what the NBA makes. They are completely propped up by the NBA. So bitches in the WNBA don't deserve the same amount of money because they don't even take in the same amount of money. I mean, really, have any of you turned on a WNBA game? Neither the fuck have I. But if you do, do it for shits and giggles. Next time you happen to see a WNBA game or a women's college basketball game on, turn it on. And you will notice that there isn't anybody in the fucking crowd. There's a few people in the fucking crowd, but there really isn't anybody. And they keep trying to sit here and say, oh my God, last year there was like a 25% increase in ratings for the WNBA. Oh my God, you mean they went from 3 fans to 4? Holy shit! So that's another form of fake feminism that pisses me off, is that you're arguing over nothing that needs to be argued over. You're not comparing the same thing to the same thing. The WNBA doesn't even, it's completely propped up by the NBA. As a matter of fact, a lot of NBA teams take a fucking loss because of the WNBA teams that they prop up. And I'm not saying you can't be a WNBA player. Good for you if that's what the fuck you want to do. That shit's boring as hell to me, though. WNBA, no fucking goddamn thanks. But cool, if that's what you want to do. I mean, it can lead to other things, like if you want to, it could lead to coaching, it could lead to you being an analyst on other networks. So yeah, cool, you could propel yourself that way, but don't fucking complain about how much you're getting paid, especially compared to LeBron motherfucking James, the fucking dude who makes the most money in the NBA, and come on, he should. But so that is one example of fake feminism that has really, really, really fucking annoyed the shit out of me because it's not even a comparison at all. So people should stop making that idiotic comparison, but they most certainly won't because we live in a fucking victim culture where it's, oh, we gotta just force women in your face and everything will work. No, women should work their way up. And with that, being said, I'm going to talk about something that I read that I was actually happy about, especially after I did a little bit more research on it. And the New York Yankees have now officially signed the first woman manager at any level of baseball. Her name is Rachel Balcovic. She will be managing the Low A Tampa Bay team. When I first saw the article, I actually laughed because at first glance, it looked like the team name was the Tampa Tampons. And I'm like, oh shit, that's perfect for the first female manager, right? But then I actually did this thing called reading, and it's actually the Tarpons, T-A-R-P-O-N-S. I believe I'm pronouncing that correct. It could be Tarpons. I don't fucking know. But it's a low A team. This is the first time a woman manager has ever taken over this role on any level of baseball. And this is where it should start, by the way. You shouldn't just throw a woman into managing the San Francisco Giants Major League Baseball team. No, they need to work their way up from low A and just keep going until they get to the top. And that's the way it should work. So let's give a little background on Rachel Balcovic here. She has been playing softball basically her entire life. She was a catcher in college, and eventually just started working her way up through the coaching ranks. She first started in 2012 as a temporary contract strength and conditioning coach for the St. Louis Cardinals minor league affiliate. And she actually ended up winning the Appalachian League's Award for Strength Coach of the Year. In 2014, she assumed the full-time role as the strength and conditioning coordinator. And that's the first time a woman has done that in any level of baseball. Then in 2016, she was hired by the Houston Astros as their Latin American strength and conditioning coordinator. And for this role, not only did she, you know, do her job in baseball, but she actually learned Spanish for the position. So that just goes to show that she actually doesn't want people to roll the red carpet out for her and say, oh, bitch, we're going to work everything out for you. No, she went and learned Spanish, and she did what she should do. And she did that so she could communicate better with the players. And that is the first time a woman has done that in Major League Baseball. And then in 2018, she was promoted to Class AA Corpus Christi Hooks as the strength and conditioning coach. Then after that, she went to the Netherlands and coached in the Dutch baseball and softball programs as an assistant hitting coach. Then in 2019, she was announced as the Yankees' newest hitting coach to start in spring training, and then also assumed the same role in 2020 as a full-time position. Also in 2019, she interviewed for the quality control coach with the San Francisco Giants, but opted to stay with the Yankees. Then during 2020, during COVID-19, since MLB was thrown into such disarray, she ended up going to Australia and coached in the Australian Baseball League. And then this year, that is when she was elevated to the role to manage the Low A Tampa Tarpons. And she's the first woman to do that. And that's great for her. Also of note, when she first started trying to get into managing and coaching in baseball, she actually used to put on her resumes, instead of her real name, Rachel, she would spell it Ray, R-A-E, to sound more manly. And instead of saying that she was a Division I college softball coach, she would say she was a Division I college catcher. So they wouldn't know she was a woman by just looking at her resume. But then once she would get phone calls, they would be turned off, and she was even told by one team that they would never hire a woman. So she has had to overcome a lot. And even with that said, she's going to have to continue to overcome a lot because there's always going to be stupid idiots, even when it's without sexism involved. You're always going to get criticized, whether you're a manager or a player on a team. You're always going to get criticized, but she's going to have a special sort of criticism But hey, she's doing it the right way. She's doing it the way every man who's done it. You know, when Bill Belichick and John Gruden started coaching in the NFL, they were both quality control coaches. And back in the days when they first started coaching, they only made like $20 a day, if even that. And so that's where those kind of coaches started, and they worked their way up. And so it is cool to see that we've got our first woman who's opening a door for hopefully other women who are willing to work hard like all the men before them. I wish her the best. And if she sucks, well, then I hope she gets fired like all the men before her. But I thought that was cool. I'm happy to see it. I'm happy to see more women in sports, at least in coaching roles and as trainers and things like that, because there's no reason why women cannot be in sports with other men. I know that's very scary to the sexist men out there, but we are living in different times. And if you don't notice, there are more and more women coming along in coaching, and I say good on ya. So that's how we're going to end today's show. I hope everybody enjoys the divisional round of the playoffs this week. I know I will. Even though my Cowboys are not in it, I can just sit back, relax, and enjoy and watch the games. And I will talk to you guys on Monday. Have a good weekend.